Diese Episode wird euch präsentiert von HiBob. Die cloudbasierte HR-Lösung bringt deine Mitarbeitenden zusammen. Ob remote oder hybrid, vor Ort oder von überall auf der Welt. Vom Onboarding und der Verwaltung der Stamm- und Unternehmensdaten über das Talentmanagement bis hin zum Offboarding. Bob ist intuitiv zu bedienen wie ein Social-Media-Account. Die Plattform hilft euch, eine HR-Welt zu schaffen, die die administrative und passive Verwaltung hinter sich lässt und sich nativ in eure Unternehmenskultur integriert, sie stützt und aufbaut. Guckt es euch doch einfach mal an. Den Link findet ihr in den Shownotes.
7654321. You'll never have the sacred stone. Oh, this new crazy mother.
Herzlich willkommen bei Zielgruppengerecht, eurem Podcast rund um Digitalisierung, Zielgruppen und Tech im Recruiting. Und hier sind eure Gastgeber, Robindro Ullar und Jan Havlicek.
Herzlich willkommen zum Zielgruppengerecht Podcast in unserer Sektion Inside Out. Das ist die Sektion, wo wir immer wieder Interviews haben mit spannenden Gästen rund um die HR-Szene, die HR-Tech-Szene. Und daher haben wir heute auch wieder einen Gast dabei. Das ist der liebe Lukas Martinez. Und das ganze Interview wird aber, wenn ihr euch erinnert, wir hatten schon mal ein Talent.com-Interview bei uns. Das ganze Interview wird aber auf Englisch stattfinden. Daher seid nicht irritiert, wenn es dann gleich auf Englisch losgeht. Aber der liebe Lukas, der hat mir verraten, dass er in Wirklichkeit schon mal Deutsch gesprochen hat, beziehungsweise Deutsch sprechen kann. Eventuell switchen wir trotzdem gleich auf Englisch. Yeah, very warm welcome to you, Lukas. I'm very happy to have you here as some kind of follow-up interview after we had your colleagues here in the podcast, and now some kind of update, fresh interview just in time before the Talent Pro Fair will happen in end of June in Munich. Where we will meet again. So, let's start with your introduction, Lukas. Can you give us a quick reminder of who you are and talent.com?
Well, thank you very much for having me here, Robin. Very excited to be here. I'll try my intro in German, and then I'll switch to English for the talent.com intro. But yes, ich heiße Lukas, Lukas Martinez. Ich komme aus Genf. Schweiz. Ich bin in Genf geboren. Ich habe in Genf studiert und ich bin zuerst in England umgezogen, in London. Ich habe 4 Jahre als ERP-Consultant gearbeitet. Danach bin ich in Dubai umgezogen. Vor 2 Jahren habe ich in Verkauf, arbeitet, und danach bin ich in 2011, ich bin in Montreal umgezogen, in Kanada, und ich habe 10 Jahre in Kanada gelebt, und jetzt bin ich in Spanien, in Barcelona, vor 2 Jahren. Und ja, this is me.
Very good.
My Dutch is not very good.
That was incredible good. And you have a nice track record of really nice cities you lived in or you're living in.
Yeah, no, these are great cities for sure. Geneva is fun. I spent quite a bit of time before in Germany, actually, in the previous life. I used to play table tennis. And obviously, Germany is the best country in Europe and one of the best in the world to play table tennis. And I was always traveling, you know, to Bremen, Munich, Frankfurt, different regions like Niedersachsen or others. So I'm well acquainted with Germany. But to be completely fair with you, for the last 15 years, my life has been mostly about Canada and the U.S. So I'm very glad to be back here and talk to you.
Very good. Could you also give a short introduction to talent.com?
Yeah, sure. So talent.com was actually founded by Benjamin Filion, Maxime Leroux, and I in Montreal in 2011. The idea here was to create, an aggregator. We felt that there was not enough volume of jobs in traditional job sites. And so we decided to create, again, a one place where in more than 70 countries, you would find every single available jobs coming from job sites and career sections such as, you know, Deutsche Bahn, Deutsche Telekom, and others all around the world. And we monetize on a pay-per-click base. So exactly like Google, you have the opportunity to have all your jobs display as an employer on our platform and then appear on top of some job search results. And the price per click depends on, you know, the demand on that click and on that location. And it's, you know, it's completely free to candidates to be in the platform. And we, again, we operate in more than 70 countries. We have more than 400 employees worldwide, and our HQ is in Montreal in Canada.
Thank you very much. That, actually, I think for most of our listeners, it's very good to get that that picture again from talent.com. But let's jump into our questions. The last year has been a roller coaster ride for the world of work. Job opportunities exploded and salaries rose. We experienced that pretty hard in Germany. But suddenly everything came to an abrupt halt. Yeah, end of last year, it seems like this explosion was over. However, the question remains, was this really the end of the labor shortage? Or will we soon see a return to the employment numbers of 2020?
Well, this is a special one because I think we're all debating that question right now. There's a lot of forces at play here. I think no one has really figured it out yet. What we saw from our own perspective, what we see on the platform, is that, yes, it's been a bonanza of hiring, a lot of inflation in terms of salaries. A lot of large companies were hiring a lot throughout the pandemic. And we've seen a continued wave in hiring in industries such as retail and hospitality that lagged because people didn't necessarily want to work again in hospitality. We've seen a lot of people just quitting the industry. And so for them to be back at it, it took some time. So despite the interest rate increases, we've seen some industries still doing well. It is true that specifically in North America, coming now a bit more in Europe, specifically in North America, we've seen massive decrease in terms of hires. You know, we don't expect North American hires to really regain in the next few months until probably end of Q3, Q4, where we start seeing again more job creations. In Europe, we've done fairly well these first two quarters. I mean, this first quarter and a half, we foresee maybe a decrease in hiring in our major European markets in the third and fourth quarter of this year, just because we think that interest rates are going to increase and it's going to decelerate hiring. But yet again, you have different things like that are happening at the same time. Yes, we stopped decreasing the number of hires in terms of the employers that we're working with right now, but we are also seeing in some places, like I'll just give you an example, there are a lot of baby boomers right now that, you know, they are really retiring. If you think about a specific example here, think about Canada. You know, Canada last week, we just heard that 15,000 people are quitting the job market every single month because of retirement. We're talking about a country that has around 40 million people living there, so it's quite consequential, and we see this all around the world. So you think about that, and then you think also about the flows of globalization that are happening, and we see new rules in this new world where we're trying to. It feels like NATO countries are actually getting closer together and trying to work more together. We see you know, main countries that we're working in actually industrialize more. Some jobs are back in the US, some jobs are back in Canada, same in Europe. And so a lot of jobs have been created. A lot of people, new jobs have been created, but not necessarily in the same industries as before. And so it's very interesting to see what's happening. So we foresee that, yes, it's still going to be tough to hire people. The labor shortage will remain, even though we decrease the number of hires that we've seen over the last couple of years. On top of that, what's very interesting that we're seeing is that a lot of employers are expecting a decrease, and specifically speaking of what's happening in the US here, and Canada, we've seen employers actually waiting to hire, even if the need is here, and taking more time to hire because there's been a lot of inflation in terms of salaries. In the last couple of years during COVID specifically, and a lot of employers are not ready to pay what people are demanding and waiting to see if they actually can have those salaries decrease. And so this is definitely a force that is at play and that is not helping current hires. A lot of things to unpack here because there's so many forces that work together here. But overall, we think that the talent shortage will remain.
For perhaps this small question attached, what we experienced last year was a little bit also due to the fact employers are trying to catch up what they've not hired like 2020 and 21. So if they are stopping again this year, will we experience perhaps next year or the year after again such catch-up hiring, extreme exploding job opportunities? Or you think the start will be a little bit smoother than last year?
Mm-hmm. From my experience, and maybe there's some markets that I do not know as well, but for what I've seen, I think that the hires that needed to be done have been done at scale. So I don't anticipate like massive growth of hires in industry. And again, it just depends on the industry. I'll give you a good example. Healthcare was one of the industry that did a massive catch up because there was a lot of people that left. And there's been a readjustment in salaries in healthcare, which was obviously needed there. And what we see now is that the industry is fully staffed. And again, there's with some variations depending on the countries. But we do not anticipate like this spurt of growth of hires like we experienced in the past. Mm.
Let's have a look at the large tech companies, because recently we have a lot of articles, at least in the German press, about those big companies. They have experienced massive job cuts recently, coupled with the strong use of AI, you know, ChatGPT and all that stuff. And we are currently anticipating enormous increases in efficiency due to those tools. I stopped counting, actually, the AI applications I've tested, but it was massive during the last couple of months. Will this further emphasize the shortage of skilled workers?
This is an interesting question. I think $1 trillion question here, what's going to happen, right? And I think no one has the crystal ball. But if I can... if I can say anything here, something here is I think that yes, there's going to be a massive disruption of what's going to happen here in the industry overall and every single industry. Some jobs will slowly disappear. I don't think it's going to be from today and tomorrow. I just think that people will start hiring a lot less in some jobs, but some other jobs will emerge. And we start seeing already on the aggregator some new jobs, you know, like virtual community jobs, or a lot of more cybersecurity jobs that we didn't have in the past, augmented reality jobs. Like this plenty of jobs. There's a new industry that is growing that is going to be a $600 billion industry by 2030, which is the space industry. Right now, we literally have no one in the industry. So what I think that AI is going to do is actually going to allow larger TAMs, you know, like addressable markets. So if you think about just the, you know, hotel industry, it's definitely going to allow us to do more like with space in the future. So I think that industries are going to become a lot larger. We're going to hire in a different way. So meaning we're not going to hire the same people that we used to hire in the past. Some jobs will truly disappear. Some jobs will be lessened. Like, you know, we're not going to hire an army of engineers like we used to, maybe less and more like high level engineers that will be augmented through AI. But overall, I think that the labor shortage will remain. I just don't think that we will be at a place where we will not need humans anymore. This doesn't exist. I don't think this world exists. And to give you a, you know, like, you know, remember, like a few years back, Kasparov lost a chess against an AI, right? And we all thought, okay, this is the end of chess. But guess what? Now chess is one of the largest. It's bigger than it ever was, right? And so because humans don't want to see AI interact with another AI, that's not who we are as a species. So I think that, yes, we see new jobs appear. Some, it's going to be a massive disruption of some jobs, but tremendous growth in other, in existing industries already, which are going to create different type of jobs.
Oh, yeah. Interesting what you're saying. We can also look at it from, I think, another angle. Yeah, because on the one hand, the jobs maybe or definitely will be affected from what we are just experiencing. But we also will experience, as you said, a drastic increase in productivity at the work supported by AI and machine learning. And then the question arises how the workplace will adapt. Like, I think at least in Germany, we had a lot of discussions about the 4-day work week, working from home and all that stuff. To what extent do you think these changes can go? Or in other words, what can employees and candidates expect the workplace look like in the next 5 to 10 years? Actually, 5 to 10 years is a long time, like next year or the year after next year.
Yeah, it just feels like what we used to say it's going to happen in 5 to 10 years is going to happen. Is going to happen next year, right? So it's definitely a strange world that we're living in right now. Every week we have something new happening. But look, overall, you have to look at it in two ways. Right now, like I think the first jobs, if we look at the world of work and how it's going to be disrupted, I think we need to look at it like, okay, there are, you know, like more like cognitive jobs, and you have jobs like more like, you know, blue collar type of jobs, or, you know, jobs where you need someone in the human connection, like a nurse, for example, or all these type of jobs. And so I think these are very different type of distinctions. And so when you think about cognitive jobs, they're definitely going to be disrupted. Other jobs will appear, yes. When you think about the more the blue collar space, I think that we're going to see disruption, but not in the next 5 years, because you would need robotics, and we're not there yet to be able to actually, you know, disrupt that world. We don't have the capability to scale thousands of millions of robots to help us in certain areas. So the first disruption is definitely going to be office kind of environment, you know, like in white collar positions. Having said that, what I think is going to happen is already happening. Like we see how it's disrupting. We're talking about remote work, hybrid work, office work every single day for the last 3 years, and we haven't been able to solve it yet. We all had it. It's a very hard problem to solve. And I think the future, and I involve the 4 days, 5 days, you know, work there as well, is going to really depend on technology, specifically on the remote work aspect. When you think about it, I think we normalize now in a hybrid environment, most companies. So, you know, we've seen a lot of remote, then back a bit in the office, and it's normalizing now. It's probably going to normalize around 2.5 days a week for foreseeable future. In the future, will depend on technology. our ability to create technology that will disrupt, you know, the what we can't replicate from home, basically human connection, serendipity, faster decision maker, you know, junior people that start their career and then in mentoring. One will be able to do all of that through technology, I think, and I think we will. If you ask me, I think we will. A lot of investment is being done right now in new companies. Probably remote work is actually going to happen even more. And on the topic of the, you know, 4 days a week, I think it's a bit like the 9-to-5 actually issue. And I'm maybe not on the right side of the equation here. I have a lot of debates with different people. But, you know, we used to say 9-to-5. This is pretty much over. You know, like, we don't talk about 9-to-5, at least in our organization and others that I know. You know, like, people have more flexibility about working. I think it's more done at team level, at project level. And if you're not here on Friday afternoon, if you have to take a plane on Monday or whatever, I think that we are way more open to it. I think we used to look at work at the lens of number of hours. I think we're going to increasingly look at work as, at least in the white collar space, as an output directly and not, and say like, okay, this is what you need to deliver and this is what's going to happen. Having said that, there are some roles that will require 5 days a week or 6 days or seven or three. You know, I think that countries will be able to adapt and, you know, pass regulations so that you can actually have different type of contracts. I don't know about Germany specifically, but I know that Switzerland is pretty advanced with this. You know, you have people working at 20%. You have people working at 80%. When you say that in the States, you know what? People open their eyes. Like, what is that even possible? And so this is, it definitely changes. It definitely creates opportunity. And I think that we are slowly, the world is going towards more flexibility and everyone will work in a different way. Some will work 4, some will work 5, some will work more. So we work project based. We see the rise of freelance and freelancers. They just, you know, they decide how they want to work, and it's growing every time more. So I think that the discussion here is way more complex than just say 4 or 5 days. I think that overall, we are moving towards more flexibility. And if 4 days is part of the answer, it will happen. Yes.
So we have a lot of HR people listening to this podcast. So what is the essential to keep in mind to adapt effectively? What would you say? Are there, I don't know, 3-4 points which would you highlight?
Yeah, so that's a question that that I ask myself every single time, right?
As a CEO.
Yeah, or even as an entrepreneur, you know, like, I think that to make it happen as entrepreneurs, you need to be humble. Humble because you make mistakes all the time. The idea here is that when you make a mistake is to pivot fast. And I think it applies to every single leader around the world. You need to admit that you make mistakes, own your mistakes. You will probably make a lot of mistakes. And specifically in this unknown world where we don't know where this is headed, so many changes are happening. So I think that what's key here is to do rapid iteration. You know, like, apply this notion of a bit like A/B testing, like we are what we have, you know, in the product world here, in other positions, in other functions within organizations. Definitely, I think that this is extremely key. So stay extremely humble. You know, be aware of your own bias. A good example, I was anti-remote. Like I said, this is bullshit. We'll always go back to the office. Working from home doesn't work. And, you know, I think as humans, we adapt well over time. You know, like, that's one thing that we do well as humans. And that's what I did. You know, like, I created a setup at home. It was hard at first, but like, I eventually managed to overcome it. And now I see the value in working from home. I see why sometimes it brings more productivity to an organization. So I think that's another keynote theory is that yes, we need to be aware of our bias and try to evolve. And again, not assume that you know it all. I think it goes back to my first one here. It's really making sure that you're able to evolve fast.
Thank you. Slowly we're coming to the end of the episode. And so for me personally, it would be very interesting to hear something more about talent.com, because when we met first time, I met Per on the Zukunft Personal when I got to know to talent.com. And you started conquering Europe quite a while ago. Then you focused on Germany, from my point of view, like 1-2 years ago, I think.
Yes.
How is business going in Germany? Are you still happy with the decision to enter the German market? Because from my personal point of view, Germany is a very slow market, especially in tech topics, but overall slowly adapting. So do you regret your decision, or how is it going?
Oh, no, we don't regret it at all. The reality is the German market was extremely ready for us. We're still a small player in Germany. That's the reality. We're still growing, but it's the fastest growing market. Just because we started a bit later, there is a catch-up effect that is going on right now, and we've been able to actually grow extremely fast. So it just became the number two country for us in Europe that quickly. Well, when you think about it, more than 80 million people live in Germany, so this makes sense, right? And there is a high GDP country, ready for technology, high internet penetration. So of course, well, everything was ready for us to actually make it happen in Germany. We needed to change actually our way of doing this, because we were extremely, English focus. Everything we're doing was like for the US or Canada, for the UK, just because it was easier in terms of language. But what we did is like, hey, as founders, we're Europeans. You know, we met in Switzerland. Switzerland speaks like four languages. We knew that we had to adapt, and so we made sure to work with amazing German people, as opposed to come in, you know, like North Americans and just say like, oh, this is what we're gonna do things. No, let Germans do their thing, because they know the country better, and that's what we've been doing, and it's working out great for us. And so what you can expect from us is actually doubling down our efforts in Germany in the next couple of years, actually, because it's working so well.
Nice, very nice. Let's move on to the final question. It's actually a crystal ball question. And so far as I can tell, you have a lot of input you're getting on a daily basis from your company. From I saw your LinkedIn profile, you have a lot of exchange with other people. So what do you think will be the next big thing after AI? Will there be a next big thing, or will it be AI?
Again, that's a tough one, because I think no one will be able to answer this one correctly. Like the guy at OpenAI, but AGI, if regulators allow it, definitely. Besides that, I think what's going to happen right now is disruption. Disruption is the main thing, the main word. I think we're in for a ride. In the next decade or so, this will be probably known as the internet, or even more, you know, like this revolutionary LLM programs. And I think that when I think about disruption right now, I think about three main things. The first one would be healthcare, life extension. AI is going to massively decrease costs of healthcare overall. And I think it's a good thing for specifically your friends in the US who struggle a lot on the cost front. But yes, definitely, I think that healthcare is going to be the first market that is going to be massively disrupted with massive vaccines. And we're probably going to see a lot less diseases and being able to cure them a lot faster than we ever could. The second one will be the real estate industry. I think it's gonna impact the real estate industry. Again, if you think about it, like healthcare costs, in every single industry, costs usually won't go down besides in healthcare. real estate, and you've seen real estate always going, prices going up. I think that there's going to be massive disruption in real estate industry in the next 5 years with costs going down, cost of rent going down. And the last one is education. Education is going to be massively disrupted in the next few years. We are going to witness a massive change in our education system just because we are not going to allow kids, you know, like to have, I don't know, in Switzerland, you know, it would be like a 3 out of 6 or 4 out of 6 in different subjects. This is over. You can have your personal assistant, your personal teacher that is going to help you get like the best grades every single day in every single subject. So I think that those three are the ones that are going to help us disrupt the industry the most and for the good. And again, disruption in terms of how we live. I think that overall, we're going to be able, at least in the next couple of years, to have a personal assistant in our pockets every single time to be able to do anything we want. And so that's I think it's going to make our life a lot easier and help us to be more productive.
Thank you very much. That actually is a perspective I hadn't had before, because disruption as in the next big thing, it's totally logical, because we just built the platform and now it will grow anything and yes. Different industries everywhere actually. So yeah, Lucas, thank you very much for the insights you gave us and for the time for this episode. Looking forward perhaps to meet you someday in person on one of the big German fairs. And so
Oktoberfest, count on me. I will
very good. Very good. Will there be a talent.com table?
Well, I surely hope so, for sure.
Okay. So thank you very much again, and have a nice day.
Thanks. Danke schön, Robin. Es war sehr geil und bis bald.
Sehr gut.
Das war Zielgruppengerecht von Robindro Ulla und Jan Havlicek. Du möchtest mehr erfahren? Dann schau jetzt auf www.zielgruppengerecht.de oder Robindro Ulla und Jan Havlicek auf Xing und LinkedIn. Und jetzt ist wirklich Schluss.